So I'm going to give you some scenarios that will help us to explore that Bible reading. So first of all, scenario one. You have a sleepover with your best friend. As a treat, his mum offers to buy each of you a pizza from Domino's. You'd normally order a meat feast pizza, which is your favourite, but your friend's family are vegetarians. What do you do? Do you A, buy a meat feast pizza anyway because they're your favourite and they don't have to eat it? Or do you B, order a margarita pizza because it feels wrong to bring meat into their house? So hands up for A, you would order your meat pizza anyway. And hands up for B, that you would go with the veggie option. We've got a fairly courteous bunch. Okay. Scenario number two. Your friend comes over after school to hang out with you. You really want to play Fortnite on your PS4, but you know that your friend's parents don't let him play Fortnite. He is not allowed. So what do you do? Do you A, play Fortnite anyway because they're not going to find out? Do you B, choose a different game to play on the PS4? Or do you C, go outside and play football? So votes for A, you play Fortnite anyway because they're not going to know. I commend your honesty, Scouts. Do you B, play a different game instead? Compromise position. Do you C, go outside and play football? Okay, good stuff. Scenario three. You've invited some new neighbours over for dinner. It's the end of a long week at work and you're looking forward to enjoying a glass of wine with your meal. It turns out that your new neighbours are Muslims. They don't drink. What do you do? Do you A, have a glass of wine anyway because you're not a Muslim, so it doesn't matter? Or do you B, choose not to drink because they don't drink? So votes for A, have a glass of wine anyway. Brilliant. And votes for B, you choose not to drink. Good stuff. Scenario four. You and your best friend have been invited to a party on Friday night. You have been desperate to go. Your best friend has been given a curfew of 10 p.m. Your curfew is midnight. What do you do? Do you A, leave early with your best friend and go home together? Do you B, let your best friend go home early and you stay there till midnight? Or do you C, decide not to go to the party and do something different instead? So votes for A, leave early with your best friend because they're your best friend. B, let them go home early by themselves and you stay late. And C, do something different entirely. Good stuff. Right, last scenario. A colleague at work is having a few friends over for dinner and has invited you to join them. You happen to know that your colleague's friends are involved in politics and that their political views are very different to yours. Brexit is likely to be a topic of conversation. What do you do? Do you A, go along but keep your opinions to yourself? Do you B, go along but get stuck into the debate? Or do you C, make your excuses and opt for a quiet night at home? So votes for A, go along but keep your opinions to yourself. There's a few of you there that are sort of quite diplomatic. Do you B, go along and get stuck into the debate? Some of you are grinning with relish. Or do you C, make your excuses and have a quiet night at home? Very good indeed. Well, there you go. All of those scenarios are based on real experiences when Sarah and I were talking. Now, we live in a city with nearly 9 million people who come from a wide range of backgrounds, who all see things differently, whether it's a rabbit or a duck, who see things differently because we live by different sets of rules or values, and we all act differently as a result. We are constantly having to negotiate difference, to work out what's right or wrong, what's fair or unfair, acceptable or unacceptable. And the first Christians lived in a really similar context, because the early church was made up of Christians from different backgrounds. There were Greeks, Romans, and Jews. Some of them were rich, some were poor, there were men and women and children, there were powerful people, and there were slaves. And because the church drew from such diverse backgrounds, it meant that they agreed about some things, but they disagreed about other things. And just like living in London, there were added tensions because of the complicated history and relationships between all of those different groups of people. So today's Bible reading that we heard is an excerpt from a letter that was reassuring them that disagreements are to be expected when people are different. So if we're different from one another, of course, we're going to see things differently and disagree. Now, the particular argument they were having in that Roman church was about food, what you were and weren't allowed to eat. And so the letter gives some advice on how to handle disagreements. So let's look at three things it says. The first thing I picked out is in verse 15. It says, if you hurt others because of something you eat, then you're no longer acting from love. And that verse makes us ask a question of ourselves. It makes us ask, how does my behaviour make the other person feel? Now, I may not want to spend an evening discussing Brexit with a bunch of Brexiteers, but how would my friend feel if I turned down their invitation to dinner? If my behaviour causes someone else distress, is the problem with their political opinions or is the problem with my behaviour and my attitude? So that's the first challenge. Look at the impact of your own behaviour. How does my behaviour make the other person feel? The second thing comes from verse 17. It says, for God's kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy, which the Holy Spirit gives. And that provokes another question. The question, what really matters here? Is it worth falling out over food? The point that Paul, the letter writer, is making is that justice, peace, and joy are far more important than who eats what. Now, I have to confess, if I have to cook for somebody who's a vegan, I find it a pain in the bum. It is quite a hassle. But does that really matter? Because Paul says, actually, aren't justice, peace, and joy more important than cooking? Interestingly, some of the other letters in the New Testament will say that there are some things that matter that are worth fighting over. But it happens to say here, food and drink isn't one of them. And if you want to know what is worth fighting over, you'll have to come back in 2 weeks' time for that separate sermon. But to go back to our scenarios, is it worth hurting your best friend for the sake of 2 extra hours at a party? Is it worth getting your friend in trouble just because you want to play Fortnite? So that's the challenge. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth the hurt that could be caused? And then the third thing I picked out is from verse 13. You should decide never to do anything that would make others stumble or fall into sin. Often when disagreements happen, we justify our own behavior or our own position by saying that we're in the right. I think some of those answers came out early on. And to take the example of having a glass of wine with Muslim neighbors, of course I'm free to have a glass of wine with Muslim neighbors because I don't think there's anything wrong with having a glass of wine. But is it kind to drink in the company of someone who might find that difficult or someone who might be made to feel uncomfortable? Sometimes our reading says it is more important to be kind than to be right. So those are the pieces of advice that I've picked out about how to handle disagreements, whether they're disagreements that you might have over a meal table or over computer games or over curfews. Think about how your behaviour makes the other person feel. Think about what really matters. Is this worth fighting over? And then worry about being kind and not being right. And so to my final scenario, if you disagree with the vicar's sermon, should you A, leap to your feet in the service and publicly challenge her? Should you B, just quietly take her to one side after the service and say, now, vicar, let me just pick you up on your exegesis? Or C, the vicar is never wrong. It's probably best that we don't answer that. Amen.